Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. And Mr. Attorney General, thank you for joining us here today to discuss your budget for the Department of Justice. The total Department of Justice budget for the fiscal year 2009 is $22.9 billion. This is a $500 million, or a 2% decrease below the fiscal year 2008 level. While the Department of Homeland Security request from the administration has grown 7 to 10% each year since its inception, the Justice Department request continues to shrink by 2 to 3% each year. The Chairwoman and I are concerned about the Justice Department continuing to be the world's premier law enforcement entity with these continuous decreasing budgets. As I've said in the past, the budget constraints placed upon us will once again force us to make tough decisions. The Chairwoman has covered most of the budget in her opening statement, so I won't repeat all that. But I do have a number of issues I think we need to discuss here today. First, I want to recognize and extend my appreciation to the men and women of the Justice Department who protect this country from terrorism and crime each and every day. We all owe them a debt of gratitude. As in past years, the administration continues to propose eliminating state and local law enforcement programs, which is troubling. These programs are the lifeblood of police departments throughout the nation. I will join with the Chairwoman in rejecting the proposal. The U.S. Marshals Service Regional Fugitive Task Forces track down and apprehend the dangerous fugitives on our streets. The fugitives are some of the worst, usually averaging more than 4 prior arrests per fugitive. The 6 regional task forces arrested approximately 95,000 felony fugitives last year. These task forces are a proven force multiplier. The Marshals Service may be the smallest federal law enforcement agency, but they have arrested more fugitives than all other federal agencies combined, yet there are no new resources for their efforts in the budget. The National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which Senator Mikulski mentioned, estimates there are currently more than 100,000 sex offenders who have failed to register as required under the Adam Walsh Act. These predators are working, attending school, and living in proximity to our children, unbeknownst to parents and law enforcement officials. The Marshals Service is the lead agency in the enforcement of the Adam Walsh Act. The Congressional Budget Office conservatively estimates it would cost $220 million over a 5-year period for the Marshals Service to hire 350 new deputy marshals, as required by the law, to locate and hunt down these unregistered sex offenders. John Walsh said the following after the signing of the act, and I quote, "Legislation without the resources to back it up is nothing more than a photo op. And yet the department is requesting no new resources for 09 to reduce the number of sex offenders from our streets. Is this giving sex offenders a free ride? What kind of message does this budget send?" The administration also proposes to task the ATF with additional Southwest border responsibilities, highlighting cross-border arms trafficking. Yet only paltry $948,000 out of $100 million is requested to carry out this mission. This means that the ATF agents investigating violent crime, arson, and gang-related activities will be relocated to the border. The baseline request in this budget doesn't even support the existing missions of the law enforcement agencies in the Department of Justice. There's no doubt we have a crisis on the Southwest border. To fund the Southwest border enhancement at the levels requested will remove DEA, ATF, FBI, and U.S. Marshals from our communities. These communities are already stressed in dealing with increased crime and receive less physical support from the Department of Justice. Mr. Attorney General, it's been brought to my attention that individuals in the National Institute of Justice have attempted to derail the 06 report language that we requested directing the National Academy of Sciences to conduct an independent forensic study. Once completed, this study will produce an unbiased and, we hope, independent assessment of the present and future needs of the forensic community, providing a roadmap for best practices. Current and former employees at the National Institute of Justice, along with lobbyists and contractors, have attempted to undermine and influence the National Academy study. On December the 17th and 18th of this past year, the Deputy Director of the National Institute of Justice even convened a counterproductive Forensic Summit here in Washington. Many of the attendees deemed the summit a huge waste of more than $300,000 in taxpayers' funds. Also, while investigating this matter, our staff discovered potential conflicts of interest, unethical behavior, and a serious void of transparency where lobbyists, including former DOJ employees, were contracted to NIJ to conduct policy-forming studies and surveys. These same lobbyists, while writing these unbiased policies for the Department of Justice, are also representing clients whose business success depends on the results of the studies and surveys their lobbyists conducted. I'm not so sure the seriousness of this matter has the full attention of the leadership of the Department of Justice. I hope and encourage you to check into this matter. I would also, I would be remiss if it did not express my dismay at the Department's position or lack thereof on the recent passage of the Second Chance Act. In what will be a year of tough budget decisions, numerous reentry, recidivism prevention, and prisoner education studies and programs were created. Most of the programs and studies already exist, yet the Department of Justice was silent throughout the process. A lot of us are troubled by Section 231 related to prisoner reentry procedures that, quote, ensure that priority is given to the reentry needs of high-risk populations such as sex offenders and career criminals. To a degree, I believe in reentry and anti-recidivism programs. But in a tight budget year when we have to make choices, I think we should prioritize and ensure that the needs of victims and law enforcement officers are supported before giving any consideration whatsoever to the welfare of criminals. There are currently more than 70 programs at DOJ. Each program has its own constituency, you know. This legislation provides more welfare and career counseling by pedophiles and career criminals on our bill than we give to victims of most of our children. Sex offenders, a lot of people believe, cannot be rehabilitated. Yet this bill would give them priority in receiving federal taxpayer assistance to reintegrate into our neighborhoods. The department should be extremely proud of the personnel stationed overseas, the ATF, FBI, DEA, Marshal Service, and U.S. attorneys all play vital roles in protecting our country. I understand the chairwoman has endorsed the effort to provide additional burn state and local law enforcement funding in the upcoming emergency supplemental bill, and Senator Mikulski knows we all have our support. Lastly, Mr. Attorney General, you left a lifetime appointment as a federal judge and returned to the Department of Justice. Since your arrival, morale has risen, and we're seeing signs that you're having success in righting the ship. I commend you for that and congratulate you for your efforts and your commitment. Thank you for appearing before us today.